Good morning. Annyeong Haseyo. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. Our morning services will be led by Ted Bellingham. This is his last Sunday with us, as his... in his role as student minister. But we very much hope that we will be seeing you in the future. Tea and coffee will be served between the services. Pastoral news. Hugh Davies' funeral is on Thursday at 12:40 at Mortlake Crematorium. Next Sunday is the combined service and there will be a bring and share lunch. It's also our gift day. If you've brought your little home money boxes, visual aid here, Linda Austin will be happy to receive the box or the collection. And there she is waving. Now we're holding this service, the gift service, to support our mission to Kingston Town Centre and to keep this place a welcoming space. Cash and cheques will be will be welcome on the day, and please, if you can, use the envelopes to include gift aid declaration, or you can use the pledge form, and I believe there are still some at the back for collection. But Gift Week is already underway, and marmalade is ready for sale from today in the Mayo Hall. Thank you. Leslie?
Jane, it's been great to have you with us. Up you get, that'll be rude. Round of applause for Jane. Ted, just before you put your head on holy things, would you like to get to your feet? Thank you very much. We have enjoyed your company. I have enjoyed your conversation. We wish you well in your future, whatever that looks like. Ted is exploring with a local church. We'll be lucky to have him. But this is just a tiny weeny something.
Thank you.
And this is a card. It's a card, and if you didn't get a chance to sign it, come up and sign it. You'll never know. This is a card from us just with our best wishes. So God bless you into your future.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And a very quick response to say thank you for the card and thank you for the gift as well. I truly appreciate it. Thank you really for making me feel so welcome, both as a congregation and as elders and the minister, Leslie. Particularly thank you for all the support that you've given me and all the time and effort that you've put into looking after me very much over the last 9 months. So thank you very much. I will be in touch. There'll always be a special part of my heart that's given over to Kingston United Reformed Church. Thank you very much. Thank you. Our call to worship this morning is responsive, so please join together with the words in bold on the screen. Our call to worship. Come, see light shine from the darkness. Come, see treasure in unexpected places. Come, see his life at work. Come, worship the Lord. Amen. So let us sing our first hymn in 264. He is Lord, he is Lord. He is risen from the dead and he is Lord.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, Jesus gathered around him his disciples. These were ordinary, everyday folk. And together they worshipped you and learned of you. In the same way, we come to you this morning. We come dressed up or dressed down. We come together or alone. We come willingly or with some reluctance. We come to you in this place of worship. We come to you with joy or with sadness in our lives. We come in a multiple number of ways, with a myriad of thoughts and with a host of reasons. But we come to you, and you call us to follow Jesus. So here we are, ordinary folk, gathering to worship you, the God we adore. Help us to share with the world the treasure we have found in the message of Jesus. Amen. And let's now say together the Lord's Prayer in whatever language or form you feel comfortable. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So Ray and Stuart are now going to read to us our Bible readings. Thank you.
First reading is taken from Genesis 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning, when God created the universe, the earth was formless and desolate. The raging ocean that covered everything was engulfed in total darkness, and the power of God was moving over the water. Then God commanded, "Let there be light," and light appeared. God was pleased with what he saw. Then he separated the light from the darkness, and he named the light day and the darkness night. Evening passed and morning came. That was the first day. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 to 12. For it is not ourselves that we preach. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. The God who said, "Out of darkness the light shall shine," is the same God who made his light shine in our hearts to bring us the knowledge of God's glory shining in the face of Christ. Yet we who have this spiritual treasure are like common clay pots, in order to show that the supreme power belongs to God, not to us. We are often troubled, but not crushed, sometimes in doubt, but never in despair. There are many enemies, but we are never without a friend. and though badly hurt at times, we are not destroyed. At all times we carry in our mortal bodies the death of Jesus, so that his life also may be seen in our bodies. Throughout our lives we are always in danger of death for Jesus' sake, in order that his life may be seen in this mortal body of ours. This means that death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Amen.
For our introduction to the theme, I need two adult volunteers. Bethany, thank you. Now, it's not too difficult a task. All I'm going to do is ask you to hold something. So, Glyn, were you volunteering as well? I saw you sort of get up. Come on, Glyn. Right, so, Bethany, if you'd like to sort of stand there, and Glyn, you sort of stand there. Now, don't go away. Right, okay. Would you like to come over here and sit here? Because I'm going to question in a minute. Put those away. Well done. It's not bagfuls of sweets, guys. I have to say that. I'll quieten your expectations. Have that one. Oh wow, that looks pretty posh, doesn't it? I think we just need a star to finish that off. Wow, even better. Look, Glyn, you don't have to copy, all right, if you don't want to. Right, okay, wow. Doesn't that look good, eh, Bethany? Wow. All right, let's hope that stays on. Okay, you all right with that? Clay pot. Okay, good stuff. Right. Glyn, another clay pot. All right, you got that one. All right. Okay. Right, key question, guys. You got to choose one of the clay pots. Perhaps you want to give it to Mum or Dad as a present, or perhaps you want to put something in it, or use it as a flower vase, but you need to choose one of those two. Which one's it going to be? Which one? This one, you're right. The nice one with the bow, Bethany's right. This one, the cracked one with all the tape on it. You gonna choose that one? Oh, wow. Okay. Nice, it's all right. It's all planned for, don't panic. It's all. Just tell me why you've chosen that. It might be still useful, yes. You could recycle it, yes, that's good, yeah. Next generation, recycling. Ah, right. So you're going to give it as a present. You'd want it to be a really nice present. Nice and pristine and uncracked. Well, and if you wanted to put in it something in it, it wouldn't leak, would it, if you put it in there? But this one, it might. No. It's got holes in it, yeah. Yeah, I did a very good job on that, didn't I? Yeah. There is a sequel to this story. If you want to see me, I'll tell you what then happened. Or Jake. Right, so the key thing is, what is inside these, isn't it? Is there anything in them? That's the key. Would you like to have a look in that one, the one that you chose, and see if there's anything actually inside it? Bubble wrap, that's all. Nothing else, is there? No. You can pop the, all the, that. And guys, do you want to come up and have a look at the cracked one and see what's in there? And
coins.
Wow. One each, I think. Hang on, let me. There we go. Wow, some real treasure. You see, the good-looking pot didn't have anything inside it, did it? It was empty inside. It might have looked nice from the outside, but actually inside there was nothing in it. But the cracked pot, the one that we probably would have discarded, that we might have recycled, had the real treasure in it. So nothing wrong with choosing the nice pot if you're going to give it as a present, because that's a really nice thought. But sometimes, just sometimes, things that don't look nice on the outside actually contain something that's really worthwhile inside. We have that saying, don't we? Never judge a book by its cover. Never just look at the surface on the outside. Always look in the inside. So in this case, never judge a clay pot by its cracks and chips. Thanks, guys. Well done. You can take that, those money, those coins into your department and see if there's anything valuable in there. I'm not sure there will be, but you can find it. And if you find something valuable, you can keep it. And thank you, Bethany. And thank you, Glyn. Okay, we are going to sing again now. Oh Lord, all the world belongs to you, which is number 90 if you're using the hymn books. Oh Lord, all the world belongs to you. The new light. Sorry, Nigel. later. Our prayers of intercession have a response this morning, please. I will say, Lord, in your mercy, please respond with reach out in love. Lord, in your mercy, reach out in love. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray this morning for those who feel unloved. But we thank you for your great and never-ending love, which never stops seeking us out, never fades, never lets us go. We thank you for the care that we experience every moment of every day, for everything you have done for us and all the world in Christ. And we pray now for those who feel lonely, indeed unloved, perhaps even unwanted. Lord, in your mercy, reach out in love. We pray for those whose relationships have been broken, whether through separation, divorce, or bereavement. And we pray for those who have never enjoyed the relationships they might have had. We pray for individuals who feel rejected or alienated by society, for those who have no confidence in their abilities, no place where they feel accepted, no sense of their own worth. Lord, in your mercy, reach out in love. We pray for communities divided by prejudice, culture, race or religion, for churches where there is disagreement, tension and disharmony, and for nations broken by war and violence. Lord, in your mercy, reach out in love. Almighty God, bring friendship to the lonely, reconciliation to the estranged, harmony to the divided, and comfort to the bereaved. In our homes and in our families, in our schools and our places of work, in our country and in our world, may your love be shared among us, bringing hope, peace, joy, and healing. Lord, in your mercy, reach out in love. In the name of Christ, we ask it. Amen. Our offering will now be received.
Just as we dedicate the offering, next Sunday is a second Sunday, which means that we try to gather together as a community who usually worship in two styles. We try to get our congregations together. That's why we have a style of worship that we do on the second Sunday. However, I actually know that if it's the second Sunday, there'll be some people who won't be there. So I want to say we will receive gifts next Sunday because it's our gift day. And it would be great if we could add up the number and then give thanks to God. That would be fantastic. So if you're not going to be there, it would be great if you could either give your giving electronically, or if that's not your world, send us a big fat check. That would be great. And I've heard that some people are feeling I'm hard up and I haven't got much money and I can't make a contribution. Well, people make a contribution to the church in all sorts of ways, and some people allow a whole load of things to happen because of the gifts of money that they give. And the fact that some people are hard up and they are giving their percentage and doing it as well as they can is no excuse for those who have more cash. Because the trouble is, when you start working at percentages, it suddenly looks like big wonga percentages, and we need to remember who gave it all to us in the beginning. So let us pray. For all your gifts to us, we give you thanks. We thank you for the life of this church, and we thank you for our part in it. And we ask that you would receive these gifts of money that we bring on this day, and the gifts of bread and wine, and the gifts of our lives. Help us, Lord Jesus, to use wisely all the resources that you have given to us, that each minute and each pound, each drop of wine, each cube of bread would be used for the work of your kingdom in us, through us. Lord, we pray. Amen.
So we've seen some clay pots this morning. Do you feel like a clay pot? That's my question to you. Do you feel like a clay pot? And you may well ask, well, what does a clay pot actually feel like? And I guess my answer to that will be, I'm not quite sure, but certainly I know, or think I understand, the context that Paul is talking about in that letter to the Corinthian church, where he described us being like clay pots. See, clay pots were everywhere in biblical times. They were easily made, carried all sorts of different things, but they were fragile. They were easily cracked and chipped, broken asunder. And still are today, as I found yesterday afternoon. So this morning, are you feeling, am I feeling a little bit fragile or frail? And I don't necessarily mean about last night. Do you feel a bit chipped, perhaps? Are you struggling? Do you carry a burden? Do you feel weary? If we are, then I think these verses are just for us, and they give us great heart. What I like about Paul and his letters is that he always appears to be writing to himself as much as to other people. He always uses the inclusive pronoun, either the we are like clay pots, we are often troubled. He openly expresses his own weaknesses and sufferings, his frailties, his temptations, and his sinfulness. In short, I think Paul really grasped what the human condition is all about, both physically and spiritually. And what's the human condition in this context? It's the reality that life is always not a bed of roses. Human experience tells us that life doesn't always go the way that we hoped it might. That we face challenges on occasions that we don't rise to. That we have disappointments. We suffer. We carry troubles and burdens along with us. We experience our lack of control over our lives, our limitations, and our inabilities. And this is despite the joy, the peace, the hope our faith offers us. These times are real. And there's nothing in the scriptures, no word of God that says our worldly life is or can be perfect. Far from it. For me, that reading from 2 Corinthians is really God saying to us, let's have a realistic assessment here. You are all clay pots. We are all clay pots. We're not vessels made of metal or other resilient material. We are earthenware. We are easily chipped and cracked and broken asunder. But does that mean that we should be downcast by what, after all, is a realistic picture that Paul paints? I think far from it. For if Paul goes on to describe the treasure that we can carry in our chipped or cracked pots. And he was probably taking an image here now of the Roman armies. When they came back from their successful battles, they always carry held high the loot in clay jars, clay pots, full of jewels, gold, silver. You and I are those fragile earthenware clay pots. But the treasure we carry is what comes from the power of God. The treasure that we carry, as every follower of Jesus potentially carries. No matter how chipped or cracked we might be, no matter how frail or fragile we feel, no matter how powerless or vulnerable we perceive ourselves to be, we carry a treasure. And that treasure is the light that comes from the good news of the glory of Christ. That light that Jesus brings into the world. Paul writes about those who do not believe, those who have been kept in the dark, those who, for one reason or another, are prevented from seeing the light that shines all around them. But they cannot see it and remain in darkness. And Paul makes reference to Genesis 1, which was a link to our first reading. The God who said out of darkness, the light shall shine, is the same God who made his light shine in our hearts to bring us the knowledge of God's glory, shining in the face of Christ. For me this morning, the question is this. Does the light of Christ shine in our hearts? Is this the treasure that we carry in us, in our clay pots? Let me finish with a story. We have a little slide here, I think, just to illustrate the story, which is quite well known and is, I'm told, a Chinese story. So you may have heard it before. So in an arid land, the pot carrier, as you'll see there, carries two pots slung across his shoulders. One pot is perfect. The other is cracked and leaks. And every day, the water carrier goes from the river back to the village. One day, he's asked, "Water carrier, why do you continue to use the cracked pot? Because by the time you get back to the village, it's leaked nearly all its water." And the water carrier turns back to the path along which he walks, back to the river. And he points to all the flowers that have grown because of the water that has leaked, the nourishing, life-giving water. "Which pot," he asks, "is the most valuable?" In the same way, the water carrier values and makes use of the cracked pot. Let me suggest that God values each of us and wants to make use of each of us, no matter how cracked or fragile we may be. God chooses cracked pots, and he does so in the past, and he is still doing so today. He is choosing you, and he's choosing me. And what's he choosing us for? To follow him, to let the light of Jesus shine in our own lives, to let this treasure of ours expose the glory of Christ to others. So in the same way, the water carrier's leaking pot gave life to the plants along the path, may we serve God, drawing upon the strength of the joy, peace, and hope that he offers, and reflecting his light in the darkness of others. Amen. The hymn that brings us around his table is 552, "Let us break bread together." Let us break bread together. As we gather around the Lord's table, let us recall that Jesus often shared meals with his friends. He ate and drank with all kinds of people and showed everyone the love of God. Wherever people met together, Jesus was glad to be welcomed and to be fed. Today, this morning, We are guests of Jesus. He welcomes us, whoever we are and whatever we bring, and he will feed us from his table. Old or young, rich or poor, joyful or in sorrow, Jesus invites us to share bread and wine with him, to remember the story of his life and death, and to celebrate his presence with us today. Everyone is welcome to receive this communion of bread and wine. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you as you commanded those that love you, responding to your gracious invitation to this sacred meal, to eat bread and to drink wine in remembrance of you. We're here to receive your forgiveness, to rejoice again in your great mercy, your generous pardon, your unfailing willingness to pick us up after our sinfulness, to offer yet again a break with the past, a new beginning, a fresh chapter. So we come now conscious of our sin, but rejoicing in your mercy. May this bread and this wine be to us your body and blood, symbolizing all you sacrificed for us and the forgiveness that we receive through it. As forgiven children of God, we say together, Amen. So let us recall the narrative of the Lord's Supper as recorded by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord the teachings that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took a piece of bread, gave thanks to God and broke it and said, This is my body which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. This means that every time we eat this bread and drink this wine, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We remain seated for receiving of the elements, the bread and the wine. Please, when you receive the bread, after a pause, please eat it individually as a sign of our individual covenant with our Lord. Likewise, the elders will serve you with the wine, but in this case, please retain the wine glass until all have received, and then we'll drink together as a sign of our collective communion with our Lord. There is a gluten-free alternative on the bread trays, and the wine is non-alcoholic. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, O God, that from the earth you caused the grain to come for the making of bread. We praise you for Christ, the bread of life whose body was given for us. By your Holy Spirit, sanctify us and this bread, so that the bread we break may be to us the communion of the body of Christ. We give thanks to you, O God, that you cause the vine to yield fruit. We bless you for Christ, whose blood was poured out for us. By your Holy Spirit, sanctify us and this wine, so that the cup which we bless may be to us the communion of the blood of Christ. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and following his example, we take this bread and give thanks to the Lord. the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. Jesus Christ, and following his example, we take this cup and give thanks to God. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we give thanks for what you have given and for what you have promised us here. You have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Now we give ourselves to you, and we ask that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom, and that our love may be your love, reaching out into the life of the world. May our light shine through those clay vessels of ours to glorify your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is 489, if you're using the hymn books. Be thou my vision, heart of my own, whatever be fill, still be my vision. 489. Before we close, the children are going to show us what they've been up to. So if you'd like to sit down, please. Thank you.
We've come to show you some very plain, boring boxes. Hold them up, right up so that everybody can see. But there is a hidden secret. Open them up. Not only have they got chocolate in, but if you hold them up, can you see how beautiful they are inside? So you can't always read a book by its cover.
Before I ask us to stand, can I just repeat once again, as I bring this service to a close, my grateful thanks for all the love, the support, the friendship, the welcome that both Jane and I have received at my time here at Kingston. As I said before, but I want to repeat it, Kingston URC will always have a special place in our hearts. Thank you. So let us stand, if we're able, for our blessing. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you satisfied our hunger and thirst with the living bread and the new wine. Go with us now and help us to share what we have received so that others may come to know you and your saving grace and love. And let's say the grace together, and if we feel comfortable, to each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, nevermore. Amen.